Hello, this week's Rum Doings is brought to us by babies. Babies, overpopulating the planet since the beginning of time. The latest baby has been plopped out by Edward and Victoria Hiley, who are mysteriously related to us. And she is called Ella Amelia Diana, and we just want to say a big congratulations. Well done. We hope that you will be paying for the giant carbon footprint you have just implanted on the planet. Thanks.
Hello!
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 Episode 70.
Episode 70, which means it's a special one.
An unspecial
special. Who's our special guest today, Nick?
Our special guest today is John Walker.
It's Dexter. He sat there in the corner behind the bookshelf.
We're very lucky to have John with us today.
Hi. Hi, thanks very much. Very kind of you to have me along.
Yeah. What's it like?
This is a little bit beneath me, but I thought sometimes it's good to go and speak to the little tiny
people. If I raise it a bit. Is that any better?
That's much better, thanks.
Good. Less uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. What's it like being such a celebrity in games?
Well, I don't really have any perspective outside of my own reality. I'm just used to the fame and the love, the adoration, the being recognised in the streets.
Yes, well, you wouldn't be... No gamer would go into the streets, you mean...
That's true, being recognised in the basements that I break into.
Yes. We had... The basement man killed.
How do you explain this?
We won't hear any of that noise this time.
Hope not. Unless his ghost comes back to haunt us. How do you explain game, the shops on the high street? What are they for?
People feel sorry for them.
People just go in and pretend to buy things?
No, they do. For example, Victoria bought a copy of Portal 2 from game.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, the man at game knew you, or of you.
Did he?
Yes.
It's funny. And
they're basically your fan club.
I've never been recognised anywhere in my whole life. Mm. And yet other people get recognised for me.
Yes.
It's not fair.
Yes, it is.
I want my celebrity to be recognised at long last. I've got over 2,500 followers on Twitter, I'll have you know.
Andrew Collins has about 40,000 or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, but that's because he's about 16 times better than me.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got a comedy coming up on Radio 4 this
morning. I know, it's exciting. Exciting stuff.
It is exciting, and apparently he said that it's quite a warm comedy. He hasn't wanted to offend anybody, so it'll be good stuff. What's the topic today,
Jonathan? Oh, I don't know, because it's very long, complicated, and you made it up.
Today we're not talking about the lessons we've learned from the electorate, about the tough choices we've had to make in dealing with the
economic mess.
Mm-hmm. That Labour have left us to deal with.
That's right. You like to see these, because then I have to type them out. I have to go back and listen it.
You have to, to listen to the Rum Doings podcast.
I have to listen to this stupid, awful podcast.
I wouldn't bother.
Do you know what I might start doing? It's just taking notes about what we talk about while we're recording it.
That won't be awkward.
And then I won't have to listen to it again to write about it.
Wouldn't it be awful to listen to a podcast?
Well, I like listening to podcasts, just not ones with me in them.
Why not?
Because most of all, I've already heard it.
When?
I have a little sneak peek.
Do you?
Early preview of the podcast.
I don't usually remember what's happened.
No, nor do I, in fairness. But then I'm also... and sometimes I find it entertaining to listen to us.
Mm.
But other times I just find it awkward.
The other night I was listening to a general mix of podcasts on Shuffle.
Yep.
And I put it on Sleep Timer. And it... bizarrely went on to Rum Doings, the episode where I was trying to open that plastic package.
Oh yes.
And injured myself.
So you woke yourself up with your own voice.
Yes, and it was sort of slightly surreal, but quite entertaining to listen to myself being injured.
I've been listening recently in bed times to the complete archive of... I've been going back to the beginning of the Adam and Joe Show on Six Music, so the 2007 episodes.
And are you finding it cosy and reassuring?
I am, and every night the last week I've had dreams about Adam and Joe. But primarily Adam, for some reason. Joe doesn't tend to feature in my
dreams.
Adam is
the best one. Joe's a bit cold and problematic.
Well, he's interesting, Joe, isn't he? Because he's like a famous director now. His movie's coming out this week, I think.
Which again made me think slightly less of him on one of the more recent podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how when he receives bills and he throws them in the dustbin, he makes sure that he tears up his name and address on the bill.
Yes, I heard about that.
Before he puts it in the dustbin. Not because of any evidence that he's being stalked, but just in the theory that he is. And that shows a sort of slightly paranoid mindset that I don't like.
Yeah, but I think my mum shreds her envelopes for the same reason. You're meant to do it, aren't you? It's meant to be good practice.
He said... specifically because of the celebrity man who goes through people's dustbins.
Yes, that's right. Well, I was listening
to that. They're going through his dustbin, they probably know where he lives.
That's true. But then I think it's like, you know, information about someone. Oh, I don't care. People get paranoid. I know if you listen to enough of it, you realise that Joe believes in all sorts of woo nonsense.
That's a shame.
And funnily enough, it's Adam who gets quite cross with him for doing that.
So Adam is much better than Joe.
But Adam's more gullible, bizarrely. So he will not realise he's falling for woo things.
Who's the person whom you would trust to be a warmer man to be around?
Oh, Adam, obviously. Yeah, yes. Without a doubt.
Exactly.
I seem to have a frightening amount in common with him as I listen to that, his strange little foibles.
Mm. But then again, it's everybody, isn't it? I think he's a bit... He's warm reading The Nation. It's a bit like those things where you are a sensitive soul who, whilst you like jokes, you sometimes don't like jokes.
He's some sort of Barnum human.
Mm. Yes.
Plus, he just seems to put more effort and care more about the show than Joe does, doesn't he?
Like, yes.
He records more jingles and he... And obviously, Joe is flying to LA between every episode. I mean, it's quite pretty dedicated by Joe to... He's writing a movie that Steven Spielberg's directing, as well as having his own movie come out for this first directorial movie.
I'm not looking forward to his own movie.
Direct Attack the Block.
Yeah.
I don't like
the conceit at all, because it basically... And here's what my preconceptions are.
Uh-huh.
And I hope that they are broken.
Mm-hmm.
My preconceptions are there are some scratters who live in a council estate, some very unpleasant sort of kids,
mm-hmm.
who go around mugging people.
Yes.
And they then reuse their violent antics
mm-hmm.
to foil an alien attack.
Yes.
So they're redeemed somehow, and their unpleasantness is redeemed. And I don't want their unpleasantness to be redeemed. I actually live, unlike Joe, who is quite a pampered little character.
He grew up in Brixton.
Yeah, he grew up in Brixton. He went to Westminster School.
Yeah, but he grew up in Brixton. He points out that he's...
There's Brixton.
He acknowledges how posh he is.
He probably grew up in Clapham. So I think he's trying desperately in a slightly right-on way to redeem these people. I don't wish him to redeem. I live amongst these people and they are unredeemable.
First of all, that's utter bollocks.
They're unredeemable. They need to all be killed.
Oh, I see. That's your opinion.
Eugenics, yes.
Good. That's lovely.
With a flamethrower. But I don't wish to see a film which wishful thinkingly unredeems them.
If you will shut up for 5 minutes.
Five minutes?
Yes, that would be brilliant. I read an interview with him yesterday.
Vile.
He couldn't even manage 10 seconds. I thought you were going to do it to try to prove a point, but you couldn't even get through a sentence.
I hate Joe Cornish.
Good. In which he said that it's inspired by his own mugging and the fear he experienced at the time. And he said that one thing he wants to make very clear is that it's not about redeeming their violence. He finds their violence abhorrent. But it's about... That's what he said.
Don't care what he said. He's awful.
Right. And the other thing he said was he wanted to make a film in which you never warm to the protagonists. You never warm to the central characters. You're never on their side. And I think that, because I wasn't interested in the film until I heard that, until I found out that his goal is to never let you like the main characters.
I think that's his retrospective goal, when he realised they're so hateful, said, oh my God, how am I going to spin this one?
He's done the opposite of what you wanted. He's done exactly what you wanted, and now you're criticising him for that as well.
As I said, I look forward to having my preconceptions.
I don't know if the movie will be any good or not, but
I didn't like the trailer.
I've not seen it. I didn't like it either. But the point is, whether the film was bad or not, he still went into it with the intention of not doing what you are saying he shouldn't do. So it doesn't matter if the film's bad or not.
I prefer to see Adam's film.
It'd be nice if Adam made a film. Probably wouldn't be very good, though.
No, I think it would be a nicer, warmer...
Well, no, but don't forget that his...
It would be a lovelier film.
He's best friends with that ridiculous Garth person who made the hideous Hitchhiker's Guide movie.
You can't have to answer for your friends. After all, look at you.
That's true. Otherwise, if I had to answer for you, gosh. Mm. What movie would you make, Nick?
I would make A Pint of Bitter.
Come on.
I don't know. I don't know these days what movie. I'd like to make a good... No, here's a movie I'd like to make, and I'd like to try and make one where the protagonist was not challenged at all and everything just constantly went right.
That would be really interesting.
Till the end of them. No, but I'd like to make that and yet somehow still make it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just the sheer audacity of what kept on going right with him, with no moralistic sort of come down at any point.
Okay.
So every time you watch something happen, like you see the lottery winner or you see someone get the special power mm-hmm. in a film, you're, when are they going to learn their lesson?
Yes.
When are they going to learn that they have to throw the special...
Hubris.
They have to throw the special little pebble back into the river.
Yeah.
Because it's no good. No, I don't want them to learn their hubris. I just want everything to just go in a crescendo of unbelievable luck.
But Nick...
At the end of the film, they just have an orgasm of luck and it ends.
But Nick, the true love and power is not in his lottery winning. It's in his heart.
He can have that as well, but he also...
He wants that as well. He'll
have that as well. He also has to get the girl.
Yep.
And everything.
How about he just has the girl from the beginning and nothing goes wrong in their relationship?
Nothing goes wrong in the relationship. There are no tensions in that. Because I think this sitcom that Andrew Collins has done is called Mr. Blue Sky, where everything slightly goes wrong for this character not too challenging way. And I'd like just to see if I could defy the laws of drama.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of a film in which the central protagonist, you have a stable relationship at the start, which of course means it must fall apart. Mm. So your character encounters the potential affair interest and immediately shoots it down.
Mm, exactly.
Well, no, I'm not interested because I'm in a loving, happy relationship. No. So
and tells his wife, so you won't believe it, this girl tried to come
up. Yeah, the thingy at work tried to come up to me and I explained
and
to her.
And she says, well, I'll tell you what, we can have a threesome if you want. I said, oh, no, I don't really think
I don't think that's a very nice way.
I think that's what she should say. His girlfriend should say, well, look, I know you want a threesome, so you can if you want. She says, no, I think, even though I could, it's very nice of you to offer, but... Actually, I'm perfectly satisfied with what I have.
That's true.
And then carry on with the film.
But then he's got an important meeting with the doctor coming up. That's very disturbing. I'm glad the listeners didn't have to witness that.
And he finds out that, in fact, his cholesterol levels are very good.
It's absolutely fine. Nothing to worry about.
And indeed, there isn't.
Carry on with his day.
And everything just goes right and everything's lovely. Mm-hmm. And his career just gets better and better. He makes more and more money. He gets to spend that money doing very good and interesting things.
Yep.
And I think that's where actually it could be quite interesting, where seeing somebody spend his money vicariously on interesting and good things and foil things,
right?
With that money, and as we discussed in a previous podcast, you know, save a museum from closing down, and you know, arbitrarily sort of Brewster's Millions, but without the silliness.
Yes.
Without the silly race. I meant race in the running sense, but
I see.
But it works in both ways.
I was concerned.
Without the race hate.
Yeah. Without the awful non-white races in it. You want a white remake of Brewster's Millions, is what you're basically arguing.
It was a very racist film.
I can tell which country you grew up in.
It was a very racist film in Britain. It was a very...
That's not true.
It was a very racist film.
Actually, was it? Brewster's Millions, I haven't seen it since I was a child.
Mm-hmm. Anything with him, it was inherently racist, I think.
But I'll tell you what, there's one film I'd like to watch again. I keep meaning to watch again, which is all about everything going wrong as often as it possibly can.
podcast@rumdoings.com.
Thanks. Is The Money Pit. That's a good film where everything goes wrong.
I've not seen that.
Oh, you should definitely watch that. It's a Tom Hanks film.
No, definitely not.
And I was, before he was worthy.
It's a Tom Hanks film.
Before he was worthy. Mm. Before he'd won an Oscar. Back when he was he's a funny man, Tom Hanks. He's a really funny man.
Odd chap, yes.
I know, why does he make these worthy films? Why can't he just go and why doesn't he make Big Two? What's wrong with him?
A bit unsavoury.
Yeah, maybe it's time for body swap movies to come to an end.
Big Two. the cream tea afternoon.
Oh my goodness, the cream tea plans are coming on very well for my wedding.
Are you having some cream tea at your wedding?
You know about this, don't you?
Yeah, but I didn't know you were actually doing it.
Oh, no, we're absolutely doing it. As a friend of Laura's is making prototype scones for us that we...
Prototype scones, because they've never been made before.
Exactly. So we're having... But she keeps... Every time we go along to church on Sunday, she gives us a new scone to try.
A new scone. And then you say, that five-year-old's still looking quite attractive.
That's right.
You need to add extra butter next time.
That's right.
And then Laura says... Oh, the choir boy's really tempting me. He says,
I love your image of my church. It's got choir boys in it.
I'm sure it does.
We meet in a school assembly hall.
Well, even
there
more.
There are no choir boys. There you go. It's even more dangerous.
Mm. So what do these prototypes have about them?
Well, the first lot were too stodgy.
Too dry.
Needed salt. The latest batch were
dry scone is bad.
The latest batch were perfect, except just too salty. So we're kind of going back and forth all over the place. We're going to get there.
You'll make the safe scone.
It's going to be the perfect scone.
And then you know what it'll be.
What's that?
Scone.
So Laura says scone.
Well, she shouldn't.
It's unacceptable, right?
Correct. But then she does come from Birmingham. Maybe they do that.
She doesn't come from Birmingham. She comes from Kidderminster.
Even worse.
Do you want to hear my impression of... Laura loves my impression of her.
Go on. Loopy, loopy, doopy, doop, doop, doop. So when they give the... when she promises to obey you, I'm going to obey you.
That's what she talks like. She's been on this podcast. Everyone knows sounds like.
Okay, obey me from now on. You must never speak like that again.
Did you know
I'll try my best.
I found this out recently. Apparently, even the CV have dropped obey now. For like 10 years, it's been gone.
So you were stupid for even worrying about it then?
Well, no, we're making sure we're not having obey.
What about the Catholics?
I don't know what they're up to. But the CV have... Apparently CV dumped obey a while back. Because it is a mistranslation by King James and his horde.
So who does have obey?
I imagine...
Learned of a Baptist people, and so on.
I imagine so.
Hmm. So what are you going to say instead?
I'm trying to convince the Laura to go with obey, obey, and obey. Mm-hmm. But apparently the CV route is love and honour. Now they just dropped the word entirely.
Bit wet.
So trying, you know, well, come on, what should it be bit then? Tweet. What should the extra word be? What we need, I've decided what we need for this podcast is a live audience.
Who can tweet
and text in responses. That's where we're going wrong.
I shall accept with a modicum of sanguine disdain. that should be the true marriage vow.
Love, honour and hesitation.
Yes. There you go.
Oh, my balding legs are even more bald.
Jonathan, Victoria suggested that you go see the doctor about
this. I did. I didn't go to the doctor about this, because that would be ridiculous. I went to see the doctor about something else entirely.
What did you go and see the doctor about?
Do you really want to know?
Yes.
I went to see him about the continuing problems with my anus.
What's wrong with it?
It turns out... I don't know if I want to admit this.
Admit it, because it'll help other people if they have the same problem.
It's awful. We've discussed my hemorrhoid.
Stop being embarrassed about it.
You wait till you hear what it is.
Fine, I'm not going to.
We've discussed my hemorrhoid on this podcast before.
Now, what's the issue?
A fungal infection.
No, but what is the issue?
Essentially thrush up my arse.
But what were you worried about?
Oh, we see lots of bleeding. Bleeding and soreness and a lot of pain.
Well, you shouldn't have had unsafe sex then.
I've never had any bum sex, ever.
Well, then it's very odd you have a lot of bleeding and pain and thrush.
It's very strange.
Maybe while you've been sleeping.
Maybe I should stop.
The man from the basement's been creeping in seeking his revenge.
It might have something to do with my rubbing my naked backside on tramps.
Well, you shouldn't do that.
But it's not something I want to stop doing.
Well, you must have...
Look how bald they are. Also, look at that scratch. Look at that. Look at that wound.
You must have been happy that it wasn't bum cancer.
Look how well-defined my calves are.
Yes. You must have been happy it wasn't bum cancer.
It was... I'm pleased it's not bum cancer. I'm pleased it's not Crohn's disease. That's what Laura decided.
Although blood, it would usually be black. It wouldn't be red. I assume you were seeing...
Oh, it's only perforation that's causing the blood. It's not actual... If it's not blood in my stool, that would be... If you've got blood in your stool, ladies and gentlemen listening at home, for goodness sake...
Which won't look like blood. It'll just look like...
For goodness sake, go to the doctor straight away, because you're probably about to drop down dead.
And tell me about how you're going to deal with it.
I've got a cream.
You're going to rub yoghurt over your bum.
I rub the cream. Dr. Michael Van Stratten's told me to rub yoghurt up my bum. I've got a proper tubey cream. Proper cream. I know it's proper because you have to keep it in the fridge.
I hope there aren't some embarrassing...
What's hilarious? I'll put Primula cheese spread up my arse.
That's probably how you got thrush in the first place.
But my sandwiches taste delicious. Yeah, so I get to rub my arsehole with cream. That's all I get to do. It's already massively improved.
Has it?
So that's good.
How deep do you have to go in?
I don't know. It's for surface only. No internal use.
So you don't have special suppositories.
Have you ever put a suppository in?
In what? In my own?
In your own bumhole.
I put a suppository in Judith's bumhole.
Did you?
Yeah, because...
Let's imagine that's a lot easier than getting a baby to swallow a pill.
Well, we tried to get her to just even take some paracetamol syrup, and of course she wasn't having any of it. Because it was far easier to stick a pill up her bottom.
That's right. I had
some time ago, I can't remember what it was, a long time ago when I was still a kid. What's so surprising is there was a kind of coldness of it. It was this kind of coldness. Also the fact that you can feel it travelling up, sort of go...
That's the thing. This is what's so exciting, because I was given the suppositories for the first attempt to cure my bum issues. Mm-hmm. And it's the strangest sensation. It's awful. It's a horrible thing to do. But it's very quickly over. So you push this little waxy pellet... up your bumhole.
Yes.
And I think bumholes are, for my personal use, exit only.
Yes.
Everyone has their own private...
So you're racist then?
Everyone has their own rights to decide which the directions...
Your bumhole is not full duplex.
But mine is designated one way.
Mm-hmm. By the council.
That's by the council.
Except for deliveries.
I've had to make special exception for deliveries. So what you do is you push it up there, and you go, oh, I think that's in far enough, and then you take your finger away, and you go, oh, no, it's not right, and it feels like you need to poo an awful lot. So you have to push it a little bit further, and when you know when it's gone far enough, because it goes, whoop, and just disappears like it's been gobbled up by your bum. Yeah, it's the weirdest feeling. Mm. It's like, whoop, and gone, and there's no sensation for it at all.
No.
I find that a little bit strange.
You didn't know, your bum's got a little mouth.
Exactly. Which means it's another jolly good reason why no one should put any bits of their bodies up my bumhole. They might never get it back.
Yes.
That'll be it.
That'll be all gone.
Be stuck there forever.
Nice coating things. So you're getting a general MOT before your wedding then?
Not at all. I was just in a lot of pain. So every time I did a little poo, I was all sore and I'd hope to sit down, you know.
Did the doctor have to stick his finger up your...
Doctor, not only, I think the doctor stuck a baseball bat up there. I have no idea what was going on, but there was all sorts of bits and bobs being shoved up there. It was really... I've had... I think we talked before when I had my appendicitis when the doctor pretty put her finger up my bum. I told that story.
But I mean...
And that's a brief, uncomfortable feeling. You feel like you need to poo for a bit and it's a brief, uncomfortable... This was awful. This, I actually complained.
No, but tell me...
I made complaint noises because I was in so much discomfort.
They thought they were happy noises, though.
It's like, oh no, please. Stop.
That means no. So you went, but you went to the GP.
Yes.
Said, I've got a problem with my body.
Did you sort of
apologise? I'm sorry, but
this is not
just going to be prescribing some Panadol. You're going to have to earn your £150,000.
I did exactly say that. I said to him, it's about my anus. I said, I decided to go all professional.
Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, right.
And his face just fell. And I said, I am sorry, this must be the worst part of your job. And I said, but you do get paid enough. So,
did you actually say that?
Yes, I did.
And he said,
he didn't
right, how do you think that your investigation is going so to be?
Up there. I get paid enough, do you?
You'll certainly get your money's worth. Yes. Shall I shove some of my big rolls of money up your anus? But how does that happen, though? Because I've never had... would you like to take off your trousers? Or does he...
Oh, you go
what's
into,
the preamble?
You go into this little side room where they have a bed, mm-hmm. and they pull over a roll of tissue paper that neither covers the bed nor covers anything when you get
so
up.
So it doesn't do anything
you
useful
just,
at
you
all.
You just move it by your body by lying there.
Yeah.
And then you just say... And they'll say, just pop your trousers down. It's always pop. Pop your trousers down. So
I prefer to pull. No, you need to pop. It could be dangerous.
So I pull... You just pull your trousers down past
you. Could have a prolapse
down your body hole.
Pop. Yes.
And then they dive right in.
So you popped your trousers down. Then they say you need to take your underpants down as well.
No. You lie on your side, like in a fetal position, and just pull your trousers past your buttocks.
Right.
And so your winky gets safely covered up.
Okay. And then he says, this might be a bit discomforting.
That's right.
And he says, right, let's have to see.
I think he was checking the prostate when he's down. I think they do that as a matter. If they've got their finger up your bum, they may as well check your prostate if you're male.
Well, how did you know that they were...
Because I think they just do it as a matter of course. It's such a common way for men to get ill.
You're supposed to feel something then, aren't you?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Didn't you feel like an electric shock?
Oh, no, nothing like that. I had it checked for that. When they're appendicitis, they check for it then. It's just a finger up your bum.
But what are they checking for when they check your...
I don't know.
And what can they tell from their finger?
I have no idea.
They're
highly trained.
They're not, they're GPs.
You've done the 7 years of medical college,
Does a little braille thing appear on your on your prostate?
You're fine. You just stick candle at your bum.
Yes.
Nothing to worry about. For a moment though, woohoo.
Yes. Halfway through it was looking worrying.
That's right.
They said candida. Ah, yes, it's a thrush infection.
It's true, good, well done.
But do they actually ask? They say, do you engage in any...
No, didn't ask about anything of the sort. Which is strange, because you think it'd be a relevant medical
question. Yeah, it would. Because they'd also want to know whether you'd pass it on to anybody else, surely.
I guess so.
Almost irresponsible that they didn't.
That's true. Or maybe it's not that kind of infection. Shocking. I don't know.
I think it is.
It probably is.
Report him.
Maybe it says in my medical files, has a fiancé, hasn't cheated on her with another man.
How do they know that?
I'm talking rubbish. Mm. But I think they should have done a differential. Balding outside of legs.
Yes.
Bleedy Bum Hole.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Well, they come look in your house for toxins.
And I also had a cold when I went there, so I said, can you just check my tonsils just in case? I didn't go because I had a cold, I would like to stress, because I was in a lot of pain in my throat. I said, look, I'm here about my bum, but can you just check? I said, can you check? I said to him, basically, I want you to look in both ends.
And he went...
He's a strange doctor, because you can never quite tell if he's annoyed or not.
He
seems friendly, but then sometimes he just seems like...
He is. I hate GPs.
I've had a lot of luck with GPs lately.
What's your favourite biscuit?
Well, that's a question. Awful thing to say. Have you ever seen a ghost?
What's your favourite biscuit?
I don't have a favourite biscuit. I don't like to pick favourites. I think it's inappropriate. It makes the other biscuits sad.
If I had to pick a favourite, the all-rounder,
Wouldn't
it be a nice chunk of shortbread?
That's not a biscuit.
Of course it is. What would you call it?
You don't get... I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a biscuit. It's sort of bread. It's a bread type.
It's shortbread.
Yes, it's a very short piece of bread.
No, I think that's what I would choose. Maybe a ginger nut.
You wouldn't go for something with filling in the middle?
Too extravagant for it to be a favourite.
Is that bad? What about those gingery cream ones?
No.
Ooh, I've angered him.
Absolutely
He's
not.
He's furious.
Absolutely not. You might as well vote SNP.
I can't vote SNP. I can't reach.
Give them a reach around. A reach up. Give them a reach up.
You're delighted about the SNP getting in, aren't you?
My problem with... And I know your friend thinks that they've got lovely denatured nationalism, but my problem with nationalism is it's a tiger.
And right.
People do keep tigers as pets, and they swear to you that they're lovely pets. But it's a tiger. And one day, you may just wake up to find it at your throat, ripping it out. And that's the way I feel about nationalism.
Right.
And my problem with the SNP is that they've reinvented themselves over the ages. They've reinvented their nationalism. Started as a very ethnic nationalism. Then it became a kind of very anti-English nationalism. Then it became a kind of, well, we're not anti-anybody, we just want to be part of a greater Europe nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sort of melded into a... That became sort of an economic nationalism, where we'll be part of the Celtic Tiger group. And then the Celtic Tigers weren't doing so well, you know. Simon kept talking about how wonderfully Ireland was doing.
Right.
Doesn't talk about that so much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a more generalised kind of, ooh, we're not Tories nationalism.
That's a very effective strategy up in Scotland.
And my problem is, they flailed about looking for justifications for their nationalism. The one thing that's always stayed constant is that they're nationalists. So their core is a desire to be a nationalist, and that's why I'm suspicious. And I think
I think
you can say that I am being overly paranoid, but I don't think you can say that my fear is utterly unfounded or that it is a mere product of being an unredeemable dimwit, as your friend suggests. Wouldn't you say?
I think the reason he says you're an unredeemable dimwit is because your evidence has been some bloke you met in a pub.
No, that's not true.
And you've never provided anything more concrete than that.
No, that's not true. But whenever I bring up any evidence, he says, oh no, those are just a few nutters. Or, oh no, they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, but if you try to... You could argue that... Oh, I mean, but I get labelled as a Christian with the nutters all the time. They're not represented. Of course,
yeah,
they're a Scot.
I still like to be worried about you.
Yeah, but
One day you could be at my throat.
One day, Nick, I will be at your throat.
Exactly.
There's no good about it.
Happy with nationalism.
My favourite moment in that argument was when... Because it's the Scottish National Party, not Nationalist or Nationalism Party.
The British National Party, yes.
It was when Stu asked you whether you also had a problem with National Rail Inquiries. That was the best moment
and I said,
in that debate.
National Rail Inquiries doesn't want to divide itself.
Your reply was rubbish. They've got the word national in the name. You should be vehemently against the National Rail Inquiries.
No.
I fear
The National Rail Inquiries isn't a nationalist party. So, no, Stuart.
It was a funny joke.
No, it wasn't. He was trying to make the... Because he keeps arguing that because they're called the British National Party, or the... No, sorry, that's the point. Because they're called the Scottish National Party, they're not nationalists. But go to their website and they call themselves nationalists. So I don't know the point he's making.
I intrinsically fear nationalism. I fear anything that's about identifying yourself by the borders
and being
around you.
And being divisive. Literally.
Well, they are not...
Well, they are literally divisive.
No, but listen...
They want to break a union, John. They're divisive.
Yes, I understand that. But then you think about what the consequences of that will be. It'll be a country which is a haven from conservative politics.
Well, that's very contingent for now.
But that doesn't that sound good? At the same time, doesn't Scotland sound like it'd be a quite nice place as a consequence?
And why do you
it?
Think it'll be like that forever?
Well, not forever, but for the short
term. In the 1950s, Scotland was very conservative.
Sure.
And they could flip like that very easily again.
Of course they could, but that makes no odds. Because in the 1950s, Scotland was part of the Union, and it happened.
So you support... So effectively, you support nationalism when it... makes the trains run
on time. I've just told you I fear nationalism, intrinsically fear nationalism, but what I am saying, it does... I can't help but think that a separated Scotland would probably be a rather lovely place, for the at least in the short term.
Separated.
It'll have no tuition fees.
It's a little island. No, it will, because...
It currently doesn't.
It will, yeah, because... Have you looked at the money flows from
this
London?
This has been disproven again and again.
No, it really hasn't. John, it really, really hasn't. And people who say it's been disproven play with the figures in a way that is really quite disturbing. Look at the net flows, and it is substantially from the southeast of England into Scotland, and they won't be able to keep... tuition fees at zero, and they won't be able to keep prescription fees. I'm certain of that. And you can talk about North Sea oil, but that's no longer part of the equation.
There have been other studies. I mean, there's been one big, I can't remember who did it now, but there's been one big study that found that Scotland would actually be out of deficit.
Utter nonsense.
With that, if it had been separated.
Utter nonsense.
It'd be interesting to find out.
That's utterly ridiculous. But have you looked at the subsidy to Scotland under the formula? There's a substantial subsidy. If we cut that subsidy, then they won't receive that subsidy. And where's it? What's going to replace that money?
Well, presumably Europe will subsidise, but I don't know.
Presumably Europe will subsidise.
I don't care. I mean, it's not my issue. It's not my problem. It'll be interesting to watch, I think.
It saddens me.
Yeah.
That a small island, not much bigger than a rubbish American state wants to divide itself into different countries. I just find that sad.
Sure, and as I say, I find all forms of nationalism.
If you find that happy
troubling.
Or hopeful, that's what upsets me.
But I don't find it hopeful at all.
Yeah, but at best, I'd want you to find that, oh, well, it's a sad eventuality, but it seems the best we can do. But people who think it's a good thing, an intrinsic good thing, and think it's hopeful, I'm upset
about. My problem is...
People like Stu think it's a good thing. It's an
surely,
unalloyed
absolutely.
Happiness. It's not happy. It's a sad reflection of how divisive and tribal and bickering we are.
Mm-hmm. But my problem...
Why is it something to celebrate?
But my problem is that I just find it... I find it more interesting if it splits off than if it doesn't to watch. So it becomes purely...
There are lots of things that are interesting. It's interesting to watch a car crash.
Exactly, but this is like a car crash I'm interested in watching, I think, and that's the problem. I mean, there's no big cliffhanger ending if it doesn't split off, does it? But the thing is, Scotland doesn't seem to actually want to be to separate.
What it wants is D-Max.
I think what will happen is...
Maximum devolution, where they have pretty much full control.
Yeah.
But they still get their subsidies.
But I think Stu's right in that they will wait for... They won't... Because Cameron obviously wants them to do the... What's the term? Referendum now. Because it will...
Plebiscite.
It will lose. But I think Stu's right in that they will probably wait until 2015 after the Tories have won a second term. And Scotland, of course, will be... At that point, Scotland will have no Tory places at all... And yet, will be ruled by a Tory government. And at that point, you can start to see why the nationalists in Scotland are upset by that, because they're being ruled by a party that not a single person in their entire country has voted for.
Martin Coxall argues that the Scottish Tories should just disband and go home.
Well, they pretty much have, haven't they?
No, but completely. To give room for a new centre-right party there.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
Because... It's very unlikely that there are no centre-right people in Scotland.
Sure.
But the Scottish Tory brand was just so tainted and so poisoned that none of them could associate
also
with it.
Also, Scotland was so badly hurt by Thatcher. And for some reason, they as a country have a longer-term memory than we do as a country, who are now embracing Thatcherite principles again, which is a little bit confusing to me.
Yes.
But Scotland is not, so it seems to have a... As a country, they seem to have
because it was usefully viewed as part of their anti-English mentality, so it was just mixed in with
that.
Oh, look at what those English are doing to us again. So the memory...
But how can you not...
simmering resentment...
How can you not feel that way if you as an entire country don't vote Conservative and you have a Conservative government ruling you? How can you not feel like, look what the English are doing?
Well, you can just... Because you're defining yourself as a country. You could say that about any... district or borough that doesn't vote for a Conservative could be annoyed by it. You know, how, at what point can you, are you not allowed to feel resentment?
No, I agree with you, and you know how I feel about borders and nationalism. I think it's all ridiculous.
Your road, your borough, your city.
My road is...
Your district. I mean, at what point are you allowed to start feeling resentment for not having voted
at the moment,
as a block?
At the moment.
Well, at what point do you get cross with democracy?
Well, don't you think it was really interesting that as a planet we all felt cheated by not getting a vote when George Bush won a second term?
Mm.
As an entire planet, everyone went, hang on, how come we didn't get a vote in this? Because it seems to be affecting us all.
Mm.
And so I see my borders at the moment end at the edge of the planet...
The edge of the planet.
Yeah. I'm old school. but you know what I mean. And until we discover a comparable life on another planet, that's my border.
But imagine the comparable life on another planet, and they come to visit us, and they look at us at the telescope and say, well, that tiny, tiny little island, just a little speck above the mainland. Well, they've got... three different nations on it, they're all fighting with each other for no particular reason. And even the one nation, England, has got the north and the south don't like each other very much. And then the Scottish Highlanders, the ones at the top, they don't like those people. And they all want their own little lands. And then they'll say, you know what? Vaporise. Just vaporise. I really can't be after another one of these.
I think you look at the size of Britain, you think, well, what? Almost, I think, well, look how big Britain is. And you look at the size of the empire, and I kind of think, well done. That's quite extraordinary.
Yes, but then dividing itself up is a bit like, you know, going into your lounge and saying, you know what, I get half the sofa and you get the other half of the sofa because you were nasty to me last year on that half of the sofa. And I remember that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to draw a border and I get to decide what happens on this side of the sofa.
That's right.
And I get...
Oh, look, the remote control's on my side of the
sofa. And my side of the sofa has my own song.
England doesn't have a song, or a dress, or a flag. It has a flag. But what will we do about the flag? That's what I meant to say. I mean, we don't have a flag, because obviously we do. We have that awful, blood-smeared tunic as a flag.
I like the Union Jack. I think it's a good flag.
But what happens when the blue gets removed? What happens
next? I don't think it should be removed.
Isn't it meant to be Union Flag rather than Union Jack?
Yes, that's why I said Union Jack.
Are you being controversial?
Yeah. You know me and my iconoclasm.
That's right.
I'm smashing that icon with my pitchfork of political correctness erasing.
Is there an argument under the sun or moon for if, say that we did change the flag and Scotland pulled its blue for not putting the dragon back on the flag where it should be?
Yes, because the Welsh don't want to have anything to do with the Union either.
I want a dragon on my flag.
It'd be so much more difficult to draw.
It would be amazing, like school kids having to... It's already pretty damn tricky to draw.
Yeah.
Stupid.
The Union flag is a pretty flag, and we should just keep it, even if we become one country. Just become England's flag.
I like it when people get upset because it's been hung upside down. That flag's upside down, you hate the Queen!
Yes. That's How did you know? It's hung upside down. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
John, what's the run time so far?
Oh, I can tell you, it's 37 minutes and 25 seconds.
Wow, that's exciting.
Isn't it? There's only
Do you know that we've not told anybody what we've been drinking?
That's true. We haven't really been drinking anything.
I had a cup of decaf coffee.
Tea.
And you know what's weird?
What was weird?
It tasted really like calf coffee. Calf tea.
Did it?
So much so it scrambled my circuits and I don't know the difference anymore between coffee and tea. Are you sure you gave me the decaf tea?
Yeah, decaf
it really, tea. It had that really spiteful tannininess above the normal tannin. Interesting. Have you been trying to poison me with caffeine?
No.
Would you say caffeine or caffeine?
Caffeine says caffeine.
I've heard people say caffeine.
I've never heard that. From Laura now. Says, this is a list of things that are wrong with Laura.
Okay.
Right. Laura says H.
But you've stopped her from doing
that. I've tried... My John, absolute best.
It's got to be a bay.
It makes the worms wriggle in my belly every time I hear it.
It has to be a bay.
I'm going to have to put it back in.
That's it. Yeah.
I cannot tolerate H. She says H. She says scone.
H may only be used in the word HR. And
no, that's the worst of all.
And HD.
No.
You have to use it when you're talking about HR.
No.
To show you what you think of them.
It's horrible.
And HD, because it's such a common phrase. Otherwise, everything else is H.
But the thing is, I've noticed this about these H speakers, of which I've realised I know far too many now.
Well, my flamethrower.
Uh-huh. Is that they're all hypocrites. Or chippergrips, or whatever they
flamethrower, which of course begins with the letter feth.
That's right, indeed. Yeah. I've done this, I've gone through going, did you say cess?
We did this on the previous podcast. Anyway, so yeah, so...
Oh, so did I talk about NHS before then on the podcast?
NHS.
No one says NHS, and no one says PhD. They all say PhD and NHS, they're all hypocrites.
Well, they'll say that's just elegant liaison.
They're just liars.
Yes. So, okay, so her first thing that's wrong is that she says H.
Scone.
And scone.
What else does she
do? The third. You see, there are five things.
She says controversy like everyone else, which really annoys me. I know I'm on my own with this
controversy.
One now. Controversy. How wonderful is the phrase controversy? It's such a lovely word. So, as Monty Python would have said, it's a woody word. And what about controversy? Is a tinny word.
What about controversy?
I don't like it. Controversy.
What about controversy?
I know we talked about this before.
Controversy.
Well.
So that's her third problem.
She's too short.
Mm-hmm.
She's not actually. She's lovely height.
Mm-hmm.
I know she listens, and she'd hear that, and then she'd go, oh, and then I'd feel bad.
And she'd want to install stilts.
That's right. She'd have her legs permanently stretched.
Yes.
Because she'd have to obey me.
Yes. And what's the fifth, the big one?
What's the worst thing about Laura?
She didn't know who Nick Cave was.
She didn't know who Nick Cave was to look at. Even with this, when he was singing.
Oh dear.
That was quite upsetting.
Have you dealt with it?
I think so. I think she knows now. She's never heard of Shane McGowan either.
Oh no? The teeth?
Yes, indeed. Of course, if I'd said Fairy Tale in New York, I think she would have known. But I didn't want to because it just felt pandering.
Kirsty MacColl she would have heard of, surely.
Poor Kirsty MacColl.
Yeah.
Do you know how she died?
No.
It's awful.
Go on.
Chopped up in the propeller blades of a boat. It's true. She fell out of a boat, went into the propeller blade. How awful.
How long do you think she noticed?
Oh, I hope for none at all.
It depends which way she went
for
in.
None noticing.
Which way do you think she went in?
I imagine she went leg first.
Ooh,
I don't know if she was actually minced to death. I imagine she just got one big slice and bled out.
A bit battered.
Oh, how awful.
Her father was called Ewan MacColl, but his real name was Jimmy Miller. He was a communist who worked with Joan Littlewood in Theatre Workshop.
Isn't that interesting?
Shall I tell you some more?
Yes, please do.
And where was Theatre Workshop's home?
Sesame Street.
Theatre Royal Stratford East.
That was a good answer.
And what was Theatre Workshop's most famous production?
Sesame Street.
No.
I did the joke again.
Oh, What a Lovely War.
Ah.
And can you name a famous musical man who emerged from that milieu?
No.
Lionel Bart.
Never heard of him.
You've not heard of Oliver?
Oh, right. That's his real name, was it?
Yes. So, it's not. It wasn't Oliver Twist's real name.
No, I misunderstood.
You are such an idiot.
It's something Oliver Twist.
Oh, I thought it was an odd name. I'm sure he wasn't called Twist. He was probably renamed Lionel Bart. Lionel Bart because of equity rule. There's probably already another Ollie Twist in Blackpool.
Why would you leave to assume I meant? I thought you were talking about a fictional character.
A fictional character who worked with Joan Littlewood in Stratford.
Why are you attacking me? I didn't do anything wrong.
Jonathan, you're talking out of your suppurating, bleeding,
perforated,
yeast-infected anus.
Anyway, get on with your boring story. What was the point you were trying to make?
My story's finished now.
Oh, well, there wasn't a point.
I shan't make any further discussion.
Right.
You can read all about Joan Littlewood in her book called Joan's Book.
Joan's Book, I like
I would recommend it. It's a good book.
Any celebrity who writes their autobiography under the name My Story is automatically disqualified.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Who did that most recently?
Most of them.
Mm.
They're all called My Story.
I don't like twee names of the books, like Ooh, Little Old Me, or...
Oh, that's awful.
The Terry Wogan's one annoyed me as well. It was kind of something twee and sort of, oh, that chap you heard under Edie, or, you know, something like that, that tries to be self-effacing.
Yes.
Don't like that.
But what's that Pam Ayres? What would her autobiography be called? It should be called The One Who Did That One About Teeth.
Yes.
That's what it should be. That's what it absolutely is. And here my S, that was.
Golden Teeth. Because of all the money it must have
got. Yeah, that's right. Oh, she makes me cross.
Oh, I don't like not being cross about her.
Everyone makes me cool. I saw...
She's fine.
I went to someone's house last night and they...
Why did you do that?
I know. And they were watching ITV2. I think they were watching...
They said H.
And no, they said... No, I think it's a good guy, actually, and I think he was watching out of morbid interest. It was Keith Lemon presenting a programme, which is weird because...
ITV7.
Keith Lemon is a character by... What's his face? He did Bow Selector. And it's so weird that he's now almost subsumed the guy's original personality such that he can present...
I don't know all these people.
Anyway. And it was co-presented by a stick with mascara.
That reminds me, you said...
Remind me,
was the word co-presenter reminds me of the worst joke I've ever heard.
Yes?
Carry on.
No, tell it now.
Okay, it was actually recorded on South African TV about 10 years ago, and somebody... what sent on videotape the Comrades Marathon to my father because he likes to watch it and because he used to run them. Mm-hmm. It's an ultra marathon in South Africa, 50 miles in the heat. And at the beginning of this, there was some sort of variety show, and it's got this horrible old style comedian about South African.
Uh-huh.
And his sidekick came on dressed as a snake.
Uh-huh.
And then he came on, the main presenter, and said, "Why did you come on dressed as a snake?" And his sidekick said, "I thought you wanted me to be the cobra's enter."
It doesn't even work. What's a zenter?
No, a cobra's enter.
Oh, a cobra's... That doesn't even make sense.
Because he's entered onto the...
I see.
And a cobra's enter.
That's horrible.
You feel all squirmy now.
It's dreadful. It's awful.
Cobras. I thought you wanted me to be a cobra's enter.
So this 50-mile race in the sun, yeah, this 50-mile marathon.
Yes, the Comrades Marathon.
The Comrades Marathon. Did, with all the heat and the distance...
Durban
to
Peter Maritzburg.
And the tiredness, did people used to get, like, really upset and cross with each other and then split into two factions and then have a race war? That's my South Africa joke for you.
Is that better or worse than...
I don't know.
Cobras enter.
I don't know.
Yes.
Might be the best you can ever. Oh, Dex is here. It means it's time to stop.
Does it?
Yep.
Okay. It's time to end. Thank you so much for listening. If you've been affected by any issue you've heard in this podcast, especially John's anus...
Please call the Rum Doings hotline.
On podcast@rumdoings.com or... at Rumdoings on the Twitters.
On the Twitterates. Mm. And then it's rumdoings.com to find other old episodes of this. There are... Well, we're on episode 70, but we haven't actually done 70.
So 67
episodes of this shit to listen to.
You're going to have to bleep that out now.
Refuse to after the big Gold Digger episode.
And there are actually some good episodes to listen back to. So if you have only started recently, go back into our archive and you might be unpleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got a big exciting guest lined up.
We do actually have exciting guests lined up, yes.
More or less famous than Ben Goldacre, I would argue, but perhaps more globally famous. Less famous in terms of less celebrity than Ben Goldacre, but yes. More known than Ben Goldacre.
More globally spread.
Yes. Ooh. I would argue.
Yes.
Actually, two of them.
I don't know.
Married couple.
Rose and...
Fred West.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening. Bye!